today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. John Copeland and Bill Winston teach us how we're to reign in God's kingdom. Learn how ridding your heart of unforgiveness tears down the walls that have been holding you back. It's time for you to live without limits.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm glad you could join us on this Friday. We've had a great week here in the broadcast, and we've been talking about, you know, living your life without limits, about training to reign in this earth. And I've had a special guest, Pastor Bill Winston. Glad you could join me for one more day.
Good to be here.
Man, this has been good.
This has been good.
We've gotten into some meat here about what are we supposed to do with our lives? You know, you've always felt like there's more. I should be doing more. But it's not just about us. It's about what are we supposed to be doing for the kingdom? Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God. It's bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than any thousand of us. It's the big picture of why God even created us to start with.
That's correct.
And we're supposed to be ruling and reigning through the kingdom system, not the world system. If you missed any of this week, you should go back and get it, and you should watch it online. It's right there. You can watch it free. And so we need to make some adjustments in our lives. One, so we can hear God's voice, spend time in the Word, planting that seed that grows up, but then following His voice without limiting ourselves to what we can do. You know, don't limit yourself on what you can think or how's this going to work, and I can't see how that would happen. You know, how could I ever own that house? You know, I don't make enough money to own that house, or the bank would never loan me money to buy that house. That's the world system. Correct. You know, looking to the bank and saying, you know, I got to have the bank to do this. No, God has a system. And so that's what we've been talking about. And so, you know, we were going to talk about today, you know, wanted to get into justice.
Yep.
And, you know, laws that are ungodly laws or, you know, persecutions or whatever that may seem unfair. That's not fair. You know, that shouldn't happen to me. I'm, you know, somebody needs to do something about that. So, Pastor, I want you to get into that with us, to talk about that side of it.
Now, first of all, let's understand that justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. When you're talking about the culture of the kingdom, you're talking about love, you're talking about faith, you're talking about peace, and joy, integrity, and all those, including justice. And the Bible says in Psalm 103 that the Lord executes righteousness and judgment or justice for everyone that's oppressed. The Bible tells us that justice is a habitation of His throne, meaning that it's the very foundation of His throne. So one day God's going to set this thing up on the earth. I mean, His throne is going to be, and justice is a foundation of it. This is where it starts at. And a lot of times what we're seeing, because darkness is getting dark in the world, we're seeing this justice now issue is going to become more and more prevalent, I think, as we go along. And we're seeing, as a matter of fact, since I've been studying this, I've been seeing more and more articles and so forth, seemingly on justice, and people talking about they want justice for different things. Mm-hmm. And as I go to the nations to teach, I just came back from India at the time of this taping, and we were told about some of the injustice that are going on in the nations. So as we talk about this, I want to go look at Hebrews chapter 10.
Correct.
And in Hebrews chapter 10, he says here, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Now, vengeance belongeth to me. What is vengeance? Vengeance is not revenge, emotional retaliation, or some hatred, but it's something that proceeds from the heart of God for his love, because of his love of justice. And it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Now, there is a justice side to God. Grace is over here. Thank God for God's grace.
Amen.
But there is a justice and a judgment side of God. And this is the habitation of his throne. This is, God wants what we do and what goes on in his kingdom to meet the justice standards of the kingdom of God. Now, Because you and I are advancing the kingdom. We're coming into situations where there is either no justice or injustice or whatever. Now, that is a time, even in the time of desegregating things and so forth, it was a large part of the church's part to really speak out against any injustices that were going on, and some of that wasn't happening. And we've got to include that in the gospel just like we include everything else, mm-hmm. because you'll find that when that justice is there, it adds to the sense of confidence that you have in God's word. Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit. So justice is vital in these last days. Now, as we go into the scriptures and we start looking at justice in the scriptures, we can look at God and get how God has given us a picture of himself regarding justice. And let's go over to Isaiah chapter 33. And in Isaiah chapter 33, he says here in verse 22, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. He will save us." Now that's Isaiah chapter 33 and 22. Now, first of all, he said, "The Lord is our judge." Mm-hmm. All right? The Lord is our judge. So what he's saying here is he is our judge. That the judge in our natural system in the United States is basically the Justice Department of the Supreme Court. That's the judge. He is our lawgiver. Lawgiver having to do with Congress, who makes legislation. Here's our king. King having to do with the executive branch of government, or the White House. Mm-hmm. So God, through this, we modeled our own system of government right here. But what happens if the judge in the earth is not right? Where do we have to go? And you and I, as believers, or any believers that are watching, can go to a higher place. We can go to a judge who is actually a judge over all the earth. Let's look at that and find it. Let's go to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 18.
World court.
The world court. I mean, he is the one. It says here, and this is now when Abraham is seeking God, because God spoke about the destruction of Sodom, but Lot was in Sodom. So Abraham petitioned God on behalf of the righteous that were in there. So look what he says here, starting here at verse 25. "That it be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now, calling on the justice of God. So notice what he called God. He called him the judge of all the earth. Now, I'm saying that because people have felt unjustly treated, they have in times gotten violent, taken some form of retaliation, which some people have ended up imprisoned and some people have lost their lives or whatever have you. But God here is the judge. And if a person knew, a believer, that if this court didn't give them justice, that they can rise to a higher court and are guaranteed justice, that's a whole different thing. Now, let's look at this Bible, because it has examples of all of this. But I just want to take one place. And that's when Daniel was now in the kingdom of Darius. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And it says here in verse 1, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes or rulers, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage or no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the entire realm. So he's going to set Daniel over everybody, because of the spirit that is in Daniel, and Daniel obviously is performing at a level that is perhaps greater than the world. And that's the kingdom of God, that mm-hmm. we should perform 10 times better. So then next thing happened is his colleagues schemed against him. And they said, hey, we got to stop him. Now, here they're scheming against this one man, so they said, let's make a law to stop him. So it's interesting how the enemy would try to make a law to stop the church. And I'm saying that I believe that those Bibles never should have come out of those schools.
I agree.
I do not believe that that was in line with the justice of heaven or the laws of heaven. Now, so what happened? They made the law. Well, it said that you couldn't pray to any other god except the king for the next 30 days. Well, Daniel wasn't going to do that. So what did Daniel do? He went up into his room here, and it says so in verse 10, and he opened the chambers and kneeled toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. Well, they saw him. He came, had him arrested, and then they took him, because the penalty for doing that was capital punishment. You'd be thrown in the lion's den. Here's something that I found out. Understanding this vengeance or this justice of God and the anointing that comes with that creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. That when you're on assignment from God, you're divinely positioned. And when Moses was sent down to Pharaoh, for the times that he came before Pharaoh, why wouldn't Pharaoh order his execution? He couldn't, because he's divinely positioned. Remember, I read you Joel chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Can't hurt you. That is part of the benefit of what we're coming into in the last days. Accidents, none of that. Molestations, none of that. Tried to take Abraham's wife, Abimelech, tried to take her. Couldn't even touch her. God came to Abimelech in a dream, said, you're but a dead man if you don't get this man's wife out of your house. Look at all this being taken care of us for us now. I'm talking about how the grace is working with this justice. And so next thing you know, they said, okay, we're going to throw him in the lion's den. And they did. But the lion wouldn't eat him, because God is the judge. We got to see that now. Because Moses was down there and took revenge on an Egyptian that had slain beating a Hebrew, and he took revenge on him, and he slayed the Egyptian. See, now that's selfish. That's getting out of love. That God loves justice, but he hates robbery. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing that happened is he took revenge on, and Pharaoh heard about it and was going to kill Moses. So Moses fled. 40 years on the backside of the mountain. Now watch this. But then God called him, showed him his power. Showed him some things. Now, notice what I said. Once you understand God's way of doing things, mm-hmm. it will significantly change your attitude and your behavior. And a lot of people are not walking in love because they don't have a revelation of God's, how God can take care of things. Now, so they threw Daniel in the lion's den, and the king couldn't sleep that night. Now, that's interesting. Because I think in the last days, those that come against God's people are not going to be able to rest well. And because the anointing is going to be working on God's people that says, touch not my anointed. And look what happened in verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now the king came to get him out. But notice Daniel came out full of joy. And the Bible says it's through joy that we draw water out of the well of salvation. You see, the way we keep getting revelation is by joy. See, the enemy wants to steal your joy so he can keep your goods. And even in the worst situation, we got to stay full of joy, no matter what goes on, because that's the way God keeps working on our behalf. So notice what happened. He wasn't angry. I'm going to get you. None of that.
He wasn't in unforgiveness.
There you go. There you go. So I'm just saying, what has happened to somebody's life out there? I'm saying that there's a justice system of God that you don't have to walk in bitterness. You don't have to. I know somebody might have done something wrong with
you don't know. You don't understand.
See,
I understand, Pastor, but you don't know what he did to me.
No, you don't know what she did to me. Remember, God is a God of justice.
Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand.
I understand.
I'm telling you, this is hard for people.
This is very hard.
There's been times where people have come against this ministry or against my mom and dad.
Sure.
And just lies, complete lies and unfounded. It'll make me mad. Yep. I get in the flesh about it. And then I start thinking, is there legal recourse? Yep. Mm-hmm. Can I do this? And then every now and then your mind will wander off on something that you know is not a God. And then you have to come back and say, no, but wait, they're not my judge. I can go to a higher court.
Come on. And he will set things right because he's kept track of the offenses.
This is one of the things that I've, there's people out there who you think, how have they lived so long? They have been attacking ministers of God, attacking God's anointed, and you're sitting there thinking, man, if I was God, I would have zapped them a long time ago, because they're just causing discord amongst the brethren, and you're sitting there, and you sit there and think, how are they not paying the price?
Gotcha.
How has justice not come? But it's not mine to, because I don't know what's going on over there.
You don't know.
All I know is that God takes care of us.
There you go.
And that's all I need to think about is that, and this is where it comes to trusting God. And do you really trust him? Because if you really trust him, then you can let that incident go.
There you go.
I don't have to see recourse come on that person to satisfy me.
And God is not taking sides. He's too big to take sides. We take his side. And I'm saying that he's handling things the way God handles things. And we've got to trust him completely with whatever matter that we have.
Would you say pride is one of the things that makes it hard for people to let those things go?
I think it's the enemy. He works through pride.
Because people will see that they did this to you and you didn't do nothing back.
But get a revelation of this. If somebody shoots somebody with a gun, you don't take the gun to court. It was the instrument. You take the culprit to court. Mm-hmm. The one is the devil who's behind it. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy.
And once you see that.
That's absolutely. And remember that woman in Luke 18, she came before an unjust judge. That's the devil. She said, avenge me of my adversary. You go look it up in the NIV, it says, give me justice. She was demanding justice. And the Bible says over in Proverbs, it says over here in Proverbs chapter 6, let's just go over there real quick. I know you want to stay on that, but that's just.
No, that's good.
He came out, he said, long live the king. He wasn't even concerned. If you know nobody can hurt you, let me tell you, it will change your attitude. If you know whatever's been stolen from you will be recompensed, that means they're going to have to pay damages. God is a God of justice. He's got to do right.
It comes to the matter of believing and trusting God.
And trusting God. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 6.
That'll help you keep your joy.
It'll change your attitude and your behavior. You'll say, praise God. Praise God. And the worst thing you could say is, you shouldn't have done that. Look over here at what it says in verse 30. Men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Verse 31. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
And I'm just telling you right now, what did they do with all the people who schemed on Daniel to throw him in there? Every one of them eventually got a sentence against him to be put in the lion's den.
So if you're that person, let's say you've had somebody transgressed against you, could be a family member, your father, your mother, could be a business partner. What would be a step right now for that person to take? We've got about a minute here before we're going to go to the break.
I think what they should ask for first is ask God to forgive the people who offended them. And then ask God to help them to change their hearts toward that person, that they would forgive that person and that God would forgive them for what they did to them, and that ask God, said, Lord, I pray now that you make things right in our lives. Save them, Lord. Bring them into the kingdom and so forth. Are you following what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm saying go at it that way. And then let God's hand or his justice take over, because he's the judge. He knows exactly what to do.
Now, you got to do that. I mean, you have to do that. Think about your life right now and the things that you need to forgive people, because without doing that, God's limited. If you're walking in unforgiveness, God can't do in your life what he needs to do. So take care of that today. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to Washington, D.C., the home of KCM Victory Campaign 2010. You have to be here to experience the powerful move of God that is taking place in this city.
Everything is going to be all right. Everything. All right. It's going to righten up, straighten up.
Everything. Not just some things, but everything is going to be all right. That made a huge difference. Yes, everything is going to be all right because we believe in God.
I'll take care of you because I love you. I love you. I'll heal you from your mistakes. I'll forgive you from your sin. All you have to do is confess it, and I'm faithful and just because I love you, because I care for you. Roll all your cares over on me because I care for you. I love you, praise God. I love you, I love you, I love you!
God really does love me. He really does care for me. He cares about me personally.
Walking in love is our word. It'll deliver us from our grave, hallelujah. We can live out the full number of our days. But if we're going to hold things, be bitter, not forgive, it'll cut our life short. And what's more, the life that we do have won't be nearly as much fun.
It's awesome just being surrounded by people where you know that it's like they believe the same thing, and without knowing anyone, you already feel like you're family.
There's so many believers gathered together that you feel like you're almost at home, you know?
It is supercharged. Everybody is excited. Everybody is happy. The level of expectancy and of faith is really high. And so there's a huge difference between watching online, which I do, but being here personally, it's just at another level.
I really love the praise and worship part of the service, because it's me giving God the praise for what he's done.
We receive the promise. We receive the blessing through faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God says in his word. So when the word says we're healed, we believe it. So what do? We take our healing by faith.
It was so painful, I couldn't move my arm at all. Without even realizing it, I got my arms up and I'm praising the Lord, and there's no pain at all.
Finish this message.
And it gets so big in you that you're a carryover and you're looking for somebody, somewhere. Let me share with you the abundance that's going on in me.
The presence of the Lord has been awesome, so you have to be here to experience it.
The anointing in the conference is just so strong and so powerful. You cannot be in a Copeland conference and not be changed. You can't leave the same.
You've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, glory to God. As he reigns and is in power, so are you. As he's named after God, so are you in this world. Hallelujah.
That Washington, D.C. meeting is always an exciting meeting every year. And partners, I want to thank you for making that meeting possible. We have these meetings for you. We're trying to get the word to you. And there's something that happens, Pastor, when you're in a meeting in person, that there's an anointing dropped in you and a seed, as we've talked about this week, that's dropped in you that cultivates. And it's really the best way to get God's word imparted into you is to be there live. So thank you, partners. Well, Fridays are offering days. God directed Dad years ago to make Fridays give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry and to sow into the things of God, to sow into the kingdom. You know, you want to put your money where things are happening for the kingdom. And Pastor, I'd like for you, if you would, to pray with the people that are watching the broadcast and the people that are going to be sowing. And let's stand in agreement with them for the kingdom of God and their lives and what God's called them to do, and for that to really take root and for them to see that vision.
Well, me and my wife and my church, we've been partners with this ministry for over 20 years.
Yes,
and just been a blessing to us. All right, well, we'll pray for those who are sowing seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over the seed that's sown as they are sowing seed into this ministry, this place of rich, good soil, that, Lord, not only will you measure it back with a corresponding return with 100-fold and 1,000 times more, but, Lord, you'll also use it as twice-sown seed, that it'll be sown into the nations, that as people hear the word of God, that what they're sowing into this ministry will be used to get the word seed into the lives of all the people that watch the broadcast. Father, we pray that a special blessing be upon every family, that there be any place that they're being held in bondage, that they'll be released by the seeds that's sown today. We thank you for it. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. If you missed any of the broadcasts this week, you can go to kcm.org. So I want to encourage you to do that, because that's where you grow. That's where you get strong in the Word. You need to go to church. And if you're in the Chicago area of Forest Park, you need to go to Bill and Veronica Winston's church, Living Word Christian Center in Forest Park, Illinois. You got to get there, because it's a great church. This is John Copeland and Bill Winston reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
That's what's happening today. And that's, he's pouring this thing out. I mean, it's coming in its fullness. This is the fullness of the blessing coming in this hour. And it's us being able to speak things and decree things.